Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Packers' 27-18 win over the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And Eric, I found this a hard game to write an opinion column about. Just kind of a strange game. What did you make of it? What did you make of the Packers' performance, the Bengals? Packers were 14-point favorite coming into this.
Well, good for them. Whoever the odds makers were, they were looking to make some cash, I think. I as the week went on, and as soon as they announced Flacco is going to be the starter, I was very skeptical of that 14-point spread. That just is too much with a veteran quarterback like that and those two receivers that they run out there, and their tight ends aren't bad. I was shocked that that line stayed that way all the way through the week, because I don't think anybody gave these guys any credit. You know, they're an NFL team. They have pride and they get paid too. And I think, you know, the second half really shows the way that, you know, hey, these are good NFL players, and you're playing with a quarterback that's, you know, very, very veteran, right, at 18 years, and he did not do anything stupid. You know, he didn't throw anything up for grabs. You know, coming into that game, Pete, I think Browning, their replacement quarterback for Burroughs, had 8 interceptions in 3 games. So they just needed a guy that was going to get the ball out and wasn't going to make mistakes. And you saw what a mature quarterback does. You know, drop back passer, throws the ball away, you know, at the guy's feet or over their heads when they know that, you know, the play isn't there. Rather than sometimes these young guys, and you saw Love make a young mistake by throwing that thing. And that kind of thing doesn't happen and shouldn't happen. You saw my opinion on Flacco was that I thought the way that they went out and played was what I expected him to do, that as get better as the game went along and throw short and, you know, just try to dink and dunk it all the way down the field. And they had a little bit of success, but just not enough.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, the Browns, you know, you look at their scores, they had lost 3 in a row coming in. They'd gotten all 3 were blowout losses. Now, obviously Jake Browning was a big part of that, but their O-line was struggling. And their defense wasn't that good either. So I still thought the Packers would, after what happened at Cleveland. So I didn't think this would be a trap game because of what happened at Cleveland, that they know that, you know, a team can play them and play them tough. So I still thought the Packers would win going away, but 6-point game with 4 minutes left. I was really surprised by that, but you said you weren't.
No, not at all. In fact, I kind of thought it was going to get tighter than what it ended up being. You know, but there's, you know, the Packers made a couple of mistakes. You know, that first drive, that interception that's inexcusable. I understand it's 3rd and 5. I get that. But you took 3 points off the board by throwing that pass. Not a good decision. And a good, mature – Joe Flacco didn't make – you can say whatever you want about him. He's 40 years old, but he didn't make any stupid throws. You know, the one throw that – you know, it shows you what a great wide receiver looks like was that throw to Jamar Chase in the end zone where he scored the touchdown on. I mean, had Jamar Chase not come around the back of Nixon there, they would have hit Nixon between the 2 and the 5. I mean, that was one hell of a throw. And I think a lot of quarterbacks, they're not throwing that ball because that's about as good a coverage as you could have had on that play. And he spins around and the only guy that could make that catch. I mean, I don't think there's no way Nixon could have picked that off, but that's what a great receiver can do for you. And, you know, Joe Flacco knew that, and he threw that ball. And that was the only one that was really close to being picked off the whole afternoon. And the other one was Valentine, and he volleyball spiked that one down rather than catching it, which is, I'm sure he'd like to have back. That would have been a big play too. But, you know, hey, it's a hats off to a veteran, mature quarterback who knows his limitations and got the ball out. I mean, I'd have to check the exact time, but I would say majority of the throws were out before 3 seconds.
I got to think the Packers are happy they're not facing him again, right?
For sure. Yeah, I know. Who else could trade for him here quick?
Right. Because he seems to know how to play him. But, yeah, those the Bengals do have a ton of talent at receiver, and that touchdown pass, that was just a case of him knowing, if I put this, you know, right on the guy, he's coming up with it. There's no way that ball's getting picked, and he was right.
Yep, and you know, just, you know, and the wide receivers, you know, T. Higgins, just, you know, having the nuance – knowing the nuances of a game enough to be able to just sit down in a zone and turn around. And Flacco, I mean, they literally practice together 1 week, puts the ball on him. You know, he turns around and that ball's in his grill right away. You know, that's just, you know, a mature quarterback who's played at a pretty high level throughout his career. Bounced around a little bit here at the end of his career. But, I mean, what a pickup for the Bengals, because I think they knew they had – they got talent. You know, how good it is on the other side of the ball may not be the greatest, but certainly they got it on offense.
So what? So the Packers did win. You know, let's not lose sight of that. What was the key to the win? What got them there?
Well, the defense. You know, they shut them out in half. And I did a Google search, Pete. So according to the magic Google machine, NFL offenses are putting up 23.7 points a game in 2025. So that's a little higher than my normal is. Hey, if you can keep a team to 20 points and under in the NFL, you should win the ball.
I think it was last season. I think it ended. It was 22 points something was the average.
So they're a little bit higher, but I will still say this. If you give up 21 points, I'll expound it up by 1 point, 21 points, you should win. That the odds are, based on the law of averages, you should get there. You know, higher the better the team, that, you know, that number, average offensive output is going to go higher. But, and then they shut them out in the first half. That was really good. And then they got, you know, they got the, I think the Bengals had a little bit of luck, and that's that third quarter drive, we'll just say, the big third quarter drive that ate up 10 minutes and I think 14 seconds. I mean, they didn't you know, the Packers like to sometimes fire that ball downfield, and they kind of live and die on some of those throws. You know, where these guys on that particular series, they just dink and dunked it. I think their longest gain on the entire series, and I'll have to check myself to be sure, but I think it was only 19 yards. You know, so it's just under an explosive play, and that's it. You know, that's pretty amazing. And there was, so they had no holding calls. They had no false starts. They didn't drop. I think they dropped one ball. And the Packers got a sack. So you think, all right, they're definitely going to win this game, you know, this series, especially at the end there, you know, get the sack in the red zone. All right, they're going to come out of this with three. And then, you know, Flacco has just enough niftiness to avoid some stuff and get a ball off in the end zone. Yeah, the longest gain on that particular drive was 12 yards.
I came up with 13. I quick glanced through the play-by-play. 13 yards was the longest play I saw.
13. That's right. To Higgins.
Yeah.
And that's – if you're doing that on defense, that's not bad. Because that ball was coming out of there. He wasn't hanging on to it. And, you know, like I said, he didn't make any stupid mistakes. And, you know, sometimes on defense, you just got to tackle. You know, and that's your job, and hope. And a lot of times, offenses hurt themselves. You know, holding call, dropping passes, interceptions. You know, a lot of bad things can go wrong, and you know, on that particular series, it didn't. So you look at the entire game as a whole. That's I thought defensively they were pretty good, and the biggest number that I always look for, the first stat I read out of every single game, What was the rushing yardage? They gave up 55 yards on the ground. That is awesome. That is good football right there. And it certainly is a big change from what it was last year. Last year, they were just getting run over like grass. So I feel like some of the changes they made, and you know, I still feel this. Pete, and we talked about this, you know, I'm kind of the conservative D guy, right? I'm going to have deep safeties, and I'm going to run up and tackle everything and be aggressive up against on the run, and try to be as aggressive as possible, you know, with getting the pressure on the quarterback. And that's the one thing that I think just might be missing. I think they just need to fire a backer or a safety just a bit more to heat that quarterback up and make things happen.
You don't seem troubled at all by the second half performance by the defense in the last three games. I'd have to count up the possessions and stops, but they got only one stop yesterday, and that's because, you know, the guy missed, I don't know, was it even a 50-yard field goal? A very good kicker. And the week before, the game before, I think the Cowboys scored on every possession in the second half in overtime. And the week before that, the Browns scored all their points in the second half. You don't seem bothered by that very much.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me. And here's why: is every team is going to make some, if they're coached well, is going to make some adjustments at halftime. And you know, the Packers, what do they end up scoring? 17 points in the second half. Am I correct in that? 17 points in the second half. Now the Browns scored 18, but at the end of the final score is all that matters. You know, so the other thing that where this game probably goes a little bit haywire too, you know, again, it goes back to that pick in the first quarter. If that doesn't happen, I think the game that changes things a little bit.
So speaking of that pick, so when I watched that, I was just like, man, I thought, you know, and all quarterbacks throw interceptions, and we can find cases of great quarterbacks throwing bad interceptions even later in their careers. But I kind of felt like, you know, Love was generally beyond, had moved past throwing a pick like that. What do you think of that? And what do you think of how he's played overall this season?
Great question. Now, that is a mature, this, you know, a mature quarterback throws that ball over the receiver's heads and make sure no one catches it, because there's zero chance that ball is getting completed. Zero. But, you know, he's still got a little bit of young man in him, and he's got to be able to mature out of that, because Flacco doesn't make that throw. Flacco throws that ball out of bounds. And I'm not saying Flacco is, you know, I don't want to think everybody think of that, you know, he's Joe Montana or Aaron Rodgers or some, nothing like that, because he's not. But he's efficient. You know, in this game, he was efficient and didn't throw any stupid balls. And if you're going to beat anybody, not just the Green Bay Packers, is the key to beating the Packers on offense is get the ball out. You got to run the football, and you can't throw the ball in bad spots. And the Bengals could not run the football. They got the ball out early, and they didn't make any bad things happen. You know, the quarterback didn't throw the game away, and that's the difference in the ball game. You know, that they weren't able to run the football, so they lose. And that's it. You know, that's it in a nutshell. You know, the defense was strong enough to hold it, everything together, and give up 55 yards on the ground makes it so much easier for your secondary. Nobody realizes how much easier it is for your secondary when you're getting it done up front with your front seven, because now them safeties can just keep the lid on it and stay over the top rather than having to worry about running up and tackling a 200-pound running back.
So what do you think of how Love has played through 5 weeks? As you're doing this, I'll check on the overall stats, but what do your eyes tell you about how he's playing?
My eyes tell me two things. One, he's still got a little bit of happy feet. You know, he sometimes you just want him to just stick in there for just a half a beat longer and make, and you know, but I get it. You're going to get hit. And you got to be okay with that if you're going to want to stand up, or if you're going to run around and make plays with your feet. That's fantastic, but you can't throw the stupid ball. You know, you can't – that those are inexcusable. That was an inexcusable interception. My guess is probably quarterback rating is probably still – he's probably, you know, 110, something like that. I haven't looked either, so I don't know. But
he's just speaking. He's 110.9, which is fifth in the league. It's a Jackson, yeah. Jackson, Goff, Darnold, May, Love, Mayfield, Allen, Stafford, Rodgers, Prescott. That's the top 10.
That's some pretty good company he's in, without question. But let's look at the entire picture. That interception was I mean, everything else he did yesterday was pretty good. But you know, if I'm just looking at this, I would say you got to mature a little bit more and not put your team in those spots. I get it. They kind of like to throw the ball downfield. They like to make those deep throws, and they want the big, you know, touchdowns or big chunks of yardage. But at sometimes you got to have the patience and the maturity to just let it happen and dink and dunk it down the field and throw the ball away. Cause that took 3 points off the board. Does it make that big of a difference? And in the grand scheme of thing, a touchdown would have been great. It changes the football game. A field goal isn't so bad, but an interception is the worst possible scenario that you could have had coming out of that. And then the other thing is, I just think he still has got a little. He's got a little bit of happy feet, and sometimes playing that position, you just got to stand in there and make those throws when the walls are caving in on you, and it's hard. You got a bunch of 300-pound dudes that are caving in on you. It's not an easy thing. But it goes back to week one of last season in Brazil, that he touched up his knee there, and that was not a – I think there's some lingering effects even right now today in 2025 and week six.
You know what? This is going to – I'm guessing you're going to disagree with me on this, but I kind of came away from the game feeling – you know, they scored 27 points, and they scored – 40 the week before, 37 in regulation. But it's funny, I came away from the game wondering, you know, I wonder about their explosiveness. It still kind of reminded me of late last season, you know, where it's kind of a slog getting the ball down, you know, moving the ball downfield, except for, you know, now Matthew Golden finally became part of the offense. And actually, the play that jumped out as much to me as any that he made was the least noticeable one, was that pass over the middle where he caught it. He's about 10 yards downfield, and he turned it into a 20-yard gain. I think that showed his ability, how quick he is and how he can turn upfield and all that. So I wonder if he's going to end up being a really key part. And I think going into the season, I wasn't sure how much they were going to miss Christian Watson, and that they probably shouldn't expect – you know, with him coming off this injury, that he won't be a big factor, but I think they're going to need him to be, because I think then you put those two guys on the field together, and then I think they do get pretty explosive, not just on deep shots, but like on turning crossing routes from 10 or 15 yard gains and 25 or 45 or 50 yard gains.
100%. You know, so but you're looking,
I don't know if you probably disagree with the explosiveness part. I just, even though they've racked up all these points, they just haven't looked, at least the last couple of weeks, when they've had the chances to put games away in the first half, they just haven't looked very explosive on offense to me.
No, and I kind of disagree with you, yes, because I think they have opportunities there, but I think some of it is, you know, the quarterback's got to be confident. You know, so let's just go back to the interception. I've been beating on this play all day long. He's standing there at the 30-yard line, and Tucker Kraft has got his guy beat in the seam, you know, so he's running an in route in the seam, and he bends it to a corner. He's open, but there's a guy coming. There's a linebacker screaming, or actually a D tackle that trips and falls, and there's no green in front of him. It's just a white jersey coming, and he's got to deliver that ball. Dead. He kind of zips around, and so that keeps the play, the thing going. So you want to have those explosive plays. Your quarterback's got to be able to sit tight in the pocket, and he's going to probably get hit once in a while. And look at what happens through his ear hole. That's expected, and that's part of playing the game. And he's going to have to be able to do that. The other thing is that some of the explosiveness, you're right, with, you know, that play across the middle when Golden put his foot in the ground and made that poor D-back whiff, that was one heck of a physical play. I mean, that's tough. That's not something that every human being is born and can do. And the way he did it made it look so easy. That is going to be, if they're going to be explosive, I mean, he's their guy. And I do believe that's going to only get better when Christian Watson comes back, only because if you run both those guys vertical, you are going to put a heck of a lot of pressure on that secondary, because now those safeties, they're going to be chomping at the bit. And what that's going to do, just like you said, you're going to turn those 10, 12 yard catches into 15, 20, 30 yards, because those safeties are going to have to play deep and stay over the top.
Yeah, you know, because that made me think back to Watson's rookie year. One of the plays that jumped out to me that year was when he caught that pass over the middle against the Eagles, and he took it for a touchdown. And I think he had another play like that against somebody else, maybe Dallas.
The Cowboys.
Maybe that was an end around that he took for a touchdown in that game. But, you know, those are really good. Like, those are killer explosive plays when guys can do that, because, you know, it's a shorter throw. So it's a higher percentage throw and catch, but then you still turn it into a backbreaking, you know, 40, 50, 60 yard play. I think those plays are just killers. I think that, I just remember that's what Lofton used to always do, you know,
yep.
Was he turned those medium throws into huge long plays. So yeah, I'll be really curious. It's going to be a while for Watson still. He's, you know, they'll probably take the full 3 weeks with him. So he's probably, I'm guessing he won't play this week. Maybe he will, but my guess would be he doesn't play this week and he doesn't play till next week. And then it's a ramp up for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to get him into game shape. But that's still, you know, you're still not in December yet, or you're barely getting into December by then. So I don't know. Maybe he can be a bigger factor than I would have guessed going into the season. I don't know. Did you have any experience with guys coming off ACLs and how long it took them? It happens so often where guys come off ACLs and you talk to them and they tell you how great they feel. And then the next year when you talk to them in training camp, they say, yeah, now I really feel back to normal. You know, cause it takes a full year for the nerves in there to grow and all that. Do you think the guy can be a pretty significant player coming back from an ACL surgery in January?
Well, the biggest part of it, Pete, is what's between the ears. You know, you just had an injury and you have to trust your body to be able to do the things that it used to be able to do. And where I think, you know, hey, listen, young man, just run straight. You know what I mean? All we got to do is get those safeties to start turning their hips and start running. And it's going to open up. You're going to create, you know, football is simple. We make it hard with, you know, words and our thought process. And offensive coordinators, you can tell I like offensive coordinators about as much as I like kickers. But they beat themselves by trying to make everything so fancy. It's about geometry and speed. That's it. You know, so you got to know angles. You got to know how to use geometry to create space in your secondary to create more room for guys to throw it. When the Packers in this offense, in this particular personnel, if you create space, there's going to be a lot more opportunities than when you're just going to try and mash people down the field all the time. It just is really difficult. And the Packers are, you know, you're going to add another fast guy, just run straight down the field and just create space in the middle part of the field to make easier throws that can go for a longer range.
So you think they got Josh Jacobs on track? You think that thing's finally headed in the right direction?
Yeah, you know, after watching this game, you know, we talked about this after Dallas, that, you know, who's their best player on offense? And right now it's Josh Jacobs. And in this offense and the way that Matt LaFleur's offense is designed, similar to Kyle Shanahan and similar to McVay, is you got to have a running game, and you got to have a dynamic runner, and they got a dynamic runner. And what's really special about him is when he gets past the line of scrimmage, he is really good with the ball in his hand when he's out in space, right? So we're going to create some space with our secondary, and you get him out into it, and good luck trying to tackle him. And you're going to win a lot, but a lot more than when you are just going to try and mash him up again in the line of scrimmage. So what the feeling I got from watching this game, just the eyeball test, was the first 4 weeks, they were kind of ramping him up, right? Let's not burn all the tread off the tires in the first 4 weeks of the season. It's a long season. We got to ramp him up. But one thing that I thought, and I'm pretty sure we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, Pete, was he's got to have the ball in his hands 20 to 25 times a game. End of sentence. And you saw him, what they were trying to do with him now in this game, which they haven't done much of earlier in this season, was lining him up, you know, motioning him out of the backfield, lining him up outside, and instead of just in the backfield, and throwing him the ball with design throws to him, not just a outlet dink and dunk check down pass. It was a design downfield throw to him, and that he got a 29-yard reception. That ball was that play. Those route combinations were designed to make space in the middle of the part of the field for him. The two tight ends dragged all the secondary coverage out of there. He was there with, matched up against a linebacker. The quarterback got the ball out a little later than I think you would have wanted. But that play was designed for him.
That actually helped the play, didn't it? Because it kept the defensive backs for another few yards downfield.
Yeah, it might have. But I think if he would have got him the ball, you know, a second or two earlier, he had even more space in front of him. So they're really – that play was designed for him. And you didn't see much of that in the first 4 weeks or first four games. So that is the catalyst to that offense is – that running back doing his Josh Jacob running back things.
So Arizona this week. What do you think where the Packers are sitting? They're 3-1-1, which puts them in first place ahead of Detroit, 4-2. Any feel for the division race yet? I still think the Lions are the team to beat for the division.
I do too.
I think it's going to be really close though.
What I want to see coming into this game, and this is one of those games that's I don't want to call it a trap game, but I think it can be, is I want them to come out and just do their things and do it well and execute well and not – you kind of get the feeling that they kind of play down to their competition a little bit. And I guess, you know, what you want to see is like the Detroit game where they just came out and – did their thing, or Washington, and not, you know, I'm not going to accuse them of taking the Bengals for granted because they had a 14-point spread, but you know what? Players see that. They hear it. They don't, you know, they don't live in a bubble.
You know, though, wouldn't they? I would have thought they'd be beyond that after what happened in Cleveland. I mean, how many trap games can you have in a season, you know?
Well, with this team, it could be every week. I mean, I just want to see them come out of the chute, rip, snort, and mad, and just march down the field on the first drive and put it in the end zone. Preferably run the 12-play, 8 of them are running plays. You know, that's – and they just – we're doing their thing, setting the rest of the game up, and not playing to the competition. And how, yes, how many trap games can you have with this team? It could be every week.
I mean, they're young, but they're not. They're experienced now. I mean, a lot of these guys have played a lot of football. I mean, shouldn't they know better? Wasn't there a lesson in the Cleveland game that, hey, you know, you let inferior teams hang around, they can beat you.
That's a really scary question that you asked. The fact that you're even asking is really scary. So, I ain't gonna make any friends here, and I'm not, you know, with my super high salary, I'm not paid to make friends. I got enough of them. I'm not certain that coaching staff has what it takes to take this team to the Super Bowl. I think if they were stronger, and what I mean by stronger is make teams play them, not them play other teams. And you said it just a second ago where you said, hey, you know, coming out of Dallas and coming out of Cleveland, don't you think that you would have – you would be ready to you wouldn't have these things happen? And yet it still does. It, at what point is it the players and at what point is it the guys on the sideline?
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you was, why is that so – why is that mostly on the – on the staff, because I'm sure they're saying the right things, you know, in the in meetings, you know, about not taking teams lightly and about how good Chase and Higgins were and all that.
Are they?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Okay,
they're saying, they're saying it to the media, you know.
Well, sure, but it's about being a leader of men, and sometimes you can say all the right things, but people look right through you and you see nothing but a yellow belly, right? And here's the deal. I'm surprised that the Dan Campbell thing has lasted as long as it did in Detroit because of the way he is so demonstrative and so, I mean, we hear about how much coffee or espresso he drinks on the way in every morning and all that kind of stuff. At some point that gets old, you would think. And then the same thing happens with complacency and being a player's coach and all that stuff. I mean, sometimes at what point, I mean, sometimes you hear the right stuff, but are you really believing it? Do you really feel it in your core? Do you really have faith? Do you believe in it? And I don't know if that's the case.
Well, we'll find out because the Packers have plenty of talent. They got a lot of season left to, you know, I don't want to, God, we got to always remind ourselves not to be a prisoner of the moment. I mean, you know, I double checked this yesterday as I was writing last night. Aaron Rodgers lost the fifth game of his third season as a starter and sixth season in the league, which is exactly where Love is. And they lost to Miami in overtime or Washington in overtime. Then the next week they lost to Miami. So that 2010 team was 3-3 at one point. And I don't think anybody was seeing the Hall of Fame in his future or Super Bowl. That season's ending in a Super Bowl win. So there is a ton of time for teams to find out who they are. I think you agree with this, that it takes half a season really for a team to fully figure out who they are. I thought maybe it would happen faster with this team because, you know, a lot of these guys have been around, but there's always enough change where I think it probably does take a half a season.
Well, for sure. And you know what? Here has been the track record with this football team that I have noticed is the offensive line plays better as the season goes on.
Yeah, it starts out bad, doesn't it? Yeah.
It gets better. I think that Stenovich, along with LaFleur, but I think primarily Stanovich is so, you know, I think he was a little unproven when he got here. But he was an old line coach. Now he's the old coordinator. I have a ton of respect for him. And I think that as this offensive line matures together, they still made some sophomore mistakes. You know, Jordan Morgan at times does things that's like, really? And they're going to play together, and Burns is going to play in there, and they're going to get, you know, Elton Jenkins had the best game he's had all season. They're only going to go as far as that front goes, and if they can continue to improve, this football team, can they go? I'm not saying they're not going to the Super Bowl. What I really want to say is that they're not there yet. They're not that team that you fear yet. But it's October. It's the first week in October. What really matters is how they're playing the last week in December. If they win and they accumulate enough wins to get to the tournament, that's all that's needed. Because the Packers proved it with Aaron Rodgers that all you needed to do, they were 9-7. They got into the tournament and they made things happen. Can this happen with this football team? There's nothing to say they won't. Can they? Probably. Will they? We don't know.
Okay, so I think the sands in the hourglass have run out on us here, Eric. So we'll wrap this up. I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening. Glad you think we're worth the download, and remind you we'll be back next week to talk about the Packers game at Arizona. The weeks are starting to pile up here. We're over the next month. I think we're gonna, you know, find out quite a bit more about this team. And by the end of the next month, maybe have a pretty good idea of who they are. But that'll just have to evolve slowly week after week. And so we'll discuss what we see next week.
There's 11 more games, Pete.
I know. I was just thinking about that. It's actually there's 12 more. They've only played five. So
think about that. I mean, it feels like we've been doing this for 3 months chasing these guys.
They're not even a third of the way through the schedule yet. So lots of football to go. We'll have plenty to talk about and analyze and think about. So until next week, everybody, I just want to say thanks for listening in. For Eric, I'm Pete, and you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast.
Be good.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.